Go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of James chapter 2 this morning. The book of James chapter 2, you know, our Sunday school class that we started with the young adults, it's been kind of hit and miss, and that's okay. The fact of the matter is, they're still in here this morning, so we're still kind of going through this. But as we go through this, we kind of talk with one another about the subject that we're going through. And I know that I can't do that in here with you folks because it's kind of like going to a dentist. Everybody just clams up. And that's okay. I'm not looking for that in here. I'm not going to do those things. But we're going to continue going on in our study in the book of James chapter 2. We went through chapter 2 last week, just a few verses. I think it was 1 through 7. And we're going to do the next few verses of verse number 8 through 13. And I told our young adults, I'm in no hurry. I think we kind of, as we go through God's Word, I think we rush some things sometimes. And I'm not into a point in my life where I want to rush things. My earpiece is having a hard time staying on, so I'm thinking my head lost some weight this week. It's like dancing around up there. Some of you folks are laughing at that, but that's okay. Has anybody ever known head weight loss? So you're saying my brain's shrinking. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it, Julie. Well, anyway, as we go on here, we're going to back up and we're going to read verse 1 and we're going to read down through verse number 13. That way we can kind of recap a little bit of what we went through last week. Says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respects to him that weareth a gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respects to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whoso shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask God, as I pray outwardly, I'm going to ask you folks to pray inwardly that God would just speak to our hearts this morning. Because that's what we need. And I believe that's our desire. It's what we want in life. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful again that we are able to be here this morning. Lord, we know that you're with us and we are thankful that you are. God, I pray that you would begin to minister to our hearts. That's what we're here for. That's why we woke up early. That's why some drove an hour, some 45 minutes, some 5 minutes. But God, we're here for you to minister to us. And so God, I pray that it would be a blessed day for us to be here. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. We left off last week with how the world receives a man with gay apparel. And we kind of talked about how we are drawn to the outward appearance of man. Does anybody remember the illustration of a pro basketball player, how much his attire was a few years ago? $46,000. That was his attire. I think what blew everybody's mind away was the apparel bag that he had with him. I call it a purse. Men today will call it a merce. But it was a purse in my mind. That alone was a $41,000 item that he had on his attire. That's crazy when you begin to think about those things. So we left off with that. One who is considered wealthy by earthly standards and rejects the poor of the world. And we can't forget the poor of the world, as was mentioned here. God had chosen the poor of this world. So as we continue to move on and see what we are to focus on, and that is a simple little word in verse number 8, which is where we're going to be a majority of the morning. God has given me so much with this, and I'm excited to share this. And you're saying, man, you're going to fill 45 minutes with one verse. It's easy when it comes to God's word, to be honest with you. It's really easy. And so we're going to focus on a word called love. It says, if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Again, to kind of give you an emphasis on chapter number 2, this is a test of our brotherly love towards people. So we're going to focus on this. We are called, in verse number 8, to live by the royal law. And the royal law is given to us by King Jesus himself. So you begin to think about this word love. Love can be shown in many different ways. And there's many examples in God's word that we're going to go through this morning. But I'm sure I'm not even going to hit a good part of this, maybe in your minds, when it comes to the word love and how we can show it towards other people of this world. Sometimes we don't show that enough in our lives towards others for this reason, because we're more focused and we're more in love with ourselves. Let's face it, that's where we're at in society. So as we continue to look on in how many ways that we can show love, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 10. The book of Luke, chapter 10, and we're going to stay in the New Testament this morning, because I don't want to get people confused. If I say turn to the book of Nahum, most of us are going to probably have to turn to our directory and see where it follows. Oh, page 4,899. But I won't do that this morning. You know, I was looking up this word love or law just a little before I get going ahead. I want to give this to you because we are to live by the royal law. You know, in our country, we have so many laws. So as Jeff and I, we were taking Dad yesterday to Dallas, it's in Harlan, and I thank the folks who have done this, taken them. I appreciate your willingness. I just wanted to say that. It means a lot. But I was looking up, how many laws does the U.S. have? And some of us, if we were to look that up, we would be baffled about how many laws that we are to follow in our country. And I believe the amount is around 4,500 laws that our country has for us to follow. Now, that's old information. That's not current information. Because we know that the Congress, who is in charge of making laws, they go forward every single day trying to pass this law, that law, and any other law underneath the sun. And as I begin to think about this, I'm glad that we have laws that are given to us in God's word. But the one that we are to live by is love, to be honest with you. There are others, yes, that we are to follow and we are to obey. But love really sticks out because it's hit on a few times in the New Testament. So as we continue to look at different ways in order for us to show love towards others, I said Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to look at verses 29 through 37. It says, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? We're going to focus on the word neighbor for a little bit as we go through this. So let's continue to read here. It says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by the chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So now we have two examples of a man that was beaten and that was stripped of his raiment, and he was left for half dead. We've had two instances where two different people walked by. They saw this individual. They saw that he was wounded. They saw that he might be struggling getting his air to his lungs. They seen the blood that was probably on the ground at that time. And they looked at him, and probably with maybe a shock to their system, because maybe this was the first time that they've seen something like this as they encountered this on their walk. And so maybe they didn't know what to do. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here. But regardless of that situation, here's what they did. They walked by. They walked by. Said, "You know what? I'm not going to have anything to do with this individual. I'm not going to give any of my time, because I have an agenda that I got to achieve this day. And if I take time out of my schedule to help this man that's half dead, then my desires that I have for myself that day are not going to be met." You know, that goes on. Not just then, but that goes on today in our society. Just last year, I already told you the story, so I can tell it to you again. This last year, as I was working, I was somewhere on 36 and 6th Ave, and I seen this man lying down on the corner. It was about 95 degrees that day. I seen him thrashing, wailing, just having convulsions like you wouldn't believe. And I've done some first aid classes. Most of you guys don't know this. I'm actually trained in CPR, just in case you're wondering. And so as we go through these classes, they always tell us to always, when you come upon something, look around, examine what's going on, see if there's any other type of things that you need to be aware of to get this individual out of harm's way. That's what they teach you. And so I begin to examine the area, and here's what I noticed. I noticed a neighbor across the street just standing on her porch looking. I noticed just down the way the male lady, she's walking, doing her route, walking by. Noticed some more neighbors just minding their own business while this man, who is very visible, laying in pain, possibly dying. And I seen all these things. I'm like, what has this world come to? Do we not have love? Do we not have any compassion towards the people of this world? I didn't do anything spectacular. I did what I was trained. Got on my phone, called 911. That's all I did. It's not that hard. And I went about my day. Neighbor came across the street. She came to talk to me. Yeah, he's been there for 45 minutes. 45 minutes? The male lady, she came up, and she verified the same thing. Yeah, I've been in this area for 45 minutes. He's been there the whole entire time. It's like, people, are we not supposed to be good Samaritans? Are we not supposed to show love towards people? So this is what took place here in these two verses here in verses 31 and 32. Let's put it to you this way. The male lady and the neighbor, they saw the man half dead, walked away. Let's continue to read on with this story, because it's got a good turnout. So let's pick it back up in verse number 32. It says, "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." His compassion began to move into an action. So you can't just have compassion and not do anything about it. That would be heartless. That wouldn't be compassion. So it says he had compassion on him. Verse number 34, he goes on and says, "And he went to him." He went to him and he observed the scene. He took everything all in. Is there any other obstacles that are around that might cause damage to this individual? Are there any rocks, or are there any branches that he might have fallen upon that I can remove and get them from his area? He looked around and he examined. And as he saw what was taking place, he did his examination. Then the next thing that he did, as his compassion was in him, he began to look at the individual's body. And I know some people have weak stomachs, and the thought of blood will gross them out. A cut will gross them out. I saw something about 12 years ago that most people would never, ever see in their lifetime. I actually saw the inside of an individual's stomach as he was laying there in his hospital bed dying. He had bowel blockage so bad that it ended up killing him. But through the process, they had to cut his stomach open. And the only thing that was on it was the clear tape. And the doctors warned me, "Are you okay? You're going to be able to handle it?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." I walked in there and I saw that. I was like, wow. That is crazy. See, some people be turned off by those things. But this Good Samaritan, he saw this individual. And he goes up and his compassion begins to move forward. Look with me as he says in verse number 34, as it says, "And bound up his wounds." I begin to look at this story as we're to live by the royal law that was given to us by King Jesus himself, and that we are to love each other. I begin to look at this Good Samaritan as I'm going through this, and I'm just picturing myself again, as I said last week. I love to put myself in the stories. So I'm picturing myself, you might laugh at this, but I'm picturing myself as a tree. And I'm looking down upon what's taking place. You're saying, "Chad, trees don't see." Well, this tree, I can, because I'm the tree. And I begin to look at this Good Samaritan, begin to care for this individual, and begin to bound up his wounds. I personally believe that where he was at, he was so moved by compassion, and I know I can't prove this in Scripture, but this is just my belief, that he took the garments off of himself. He found something to rip it, to tear it, to get enough linen that he needed, to bound him with that clothing to put around him to stop the bleeding. And then he would go on and he would pour oil and wine, and has set him on his own beast. It says, "And brought him to an end and took care of him." That might not mean much to a lot of people here today, but to have this type of material with this man as he's traveling, and to give up his own personal belongings, and to give up his own personal transportation to an individual that he never knew, that he never met until that day, and to take care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." He's saying, "Hey, I got to step away from now. I don't know this individual, but I found him in this state. Here's a few dollars that I have. Please take this. I'm giving you a down payment to take care of him. And whatever else it costs you to get him back to the place where he needs to be physically, I'm going to return again. And please give me the final bill, and I will take care of that." What is that, folks? That's compassion. How do you have compassion? Through love. How do we have love? Through Jesus Christ. And that's a beautiful story as we begin to think about this. God has placed us amongst in our communities that we live in, and we are to show love towards them. And I know it seems impossible to love your neighbors at times, the ones that we live next door to. But if we don't, then who is going to step in and do so? If we don't show them the love, if we don't show them the compassion that Jesus showed us, who is going to step in and do that very thing? I don't even have to say what I'm getting at here, because I think you folks get it. I didn't grow up in the days when neighbors were literally considered family. Most of you older folks, you remember those days. I didn't grow up in those days. The only neighbors that I remember very vividly was Dina. She lived right across the street from us. And yes, we're considered family. And great times growing up. But to go back even further, I wasn't aware of those times because I wasn't around. They would be such a part of each other's lives, so much as so, most of you folks would probably give them the key to your home. Matter of fact, I know that's true. Because talking to Doc and Dee on several different occasions, their neighbors directly across the street from them had access to their house. Matter of fact, they even set up their own little private phone line. I believe it was built on a string with tin cans at the end of it. But they would be a part of each other's lives. You know, we are to love our neighbors. We're to take care of them. But in that time, it was different. That time, there was a time of trust. There was a time of love for each other. And that time has long passed us. But that doesn't mean that we can't try to get it back again. When is the last time that we have actually spoken to our neighbors? When is the last time that we've gone out of our way and shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ? My friend, that is love. You know, we go out of the way not to speak to them at times. Well, I don't want to be a bother to them, and I don't want them to bother me. We go out of our way to ignore them. So a certain man was wounded, and along came this good Samaritan. He said, you know what? I'm going to take care of this man. I'm going to show him some love. And he showed compassion. Today we have neighbors who are hurting as well. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. Spiritually hurting, not knowing who Jesus Christ is. Have you had compassion on them and shown them love? What are we doing to show love in our lives towards them? The Good Samaritan did everything that he could to nurse this individual back to good health. What are we doing in our neighbors' lives to help them out spiritually, to nurse them to a loving Heavenly Father, to a home in eternity with Him? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And I know I'm kind of going slow through this. I'm not meaning to, but I'm trying to hit on some things that I believe that we need to hit on. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44 through 48 shows us another area in our life that we are to love. Not looking at the outward appearance, not looking about how poor an individual is or how wealthy an individual is, but looking at the individual. So we're to love our neighbors. Verse number 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain and on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We are to love our enemies. And this goes as far as those that we don't even consider our brethren. And not only to love them, but the Word of God says that we are to bless those that curse us. We are to bless those that curse us. You know what that means? That means there is an unconditional love. when it comes to loving your neighbor and when it comes to loving your enemies. Bless those that curse us. The idea that we have today is whoever does me wrong, does my family wrong, does my friends wrong, here's our thought process. You better watch out, because buddy, you're going to get it from me. You've crossed me. You've crossed a wrong line, and I've got some plans for you. That's our thought process. And let me tell you this. That type of an attitude isn't love. That type of an attitude is hatred. And it's not showing any type of mercy. None whatsoever. Verse number 48, it tells us how we are to be. And that is perfect. Because our Heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemies. Do good to them. And see how far that will get you with them. You know what? That might turn your enemy into a friend. That might change their whole entire attitude, their whole entire outlook on you. When you begin to react in those ways, take away your flesh, take away how you naturally want to react to them, and say, hey, you know what, I've got some plans for you. Now take those thoughts away. We ourselves need to change our attitude and how we look at things and begin to ask God to give us the love in our hearts towards our enemies. And then there might be some beautiful friendships that might take place. There is a movie comes to my mind. It's a true story. I can't remember what it's called, but it's back in World War II. A guy was taken captive. And I wish I could remember his name. But as he was taken captive, he had one particular guy that ruled over the camp. And this guy was just downright vile. He was downright wicked. He can care less for the prisoners that he had. And while he was in one of his camps, this guy would do everything that he could to torture him specifically. Didn't really care about anybody else. But he put his focus upon his enemy. And he tortured him day in and day out. There came a time as he's in this camp, this particular authority figure got ousted and he was moved into a different camp. And later on, not far down the road, this camp came to a close. And guess where that individual ended up going? To the same camp that he really just came from with the same authority figure. And as soon as he walked into the camp, this guy's there and he looks down on him and starts all over again. He would beat him daily. He would torture him daily. Some of the things that I read about as he was being tortured, I don't think I would be able to survive from this. But as the war came to an end, he made it through. This authority figure, he went away. This guy came back to the United States. Years later, he never forgot about this man. How could you? How could you forget about a guy who lived to torture you? How could you forget about your enemy? So he decided later on in his late life, I'm thinking it was when he was in his 80s. He decided to head over to Japan. And he found this man that tortured him. And they arranged a meeting. And they met. And you know what this soldier did to this commander that tortured him? He looked at him in the eyes, coming all the way from the United States of America, all the way to Japan, some 50-some years later, and he looks this guy in the eye, his enemy, and he says these words, I forgive you. I forgive you. You know what he just demonstrated? Love. He's saying, I forgive you of everything that you put my body through. I forgive you of trying to break me down physically and mentally. I forgive you. And to my recollection, it meant nothing to the other guy. But you know what? He was set free. He wasn't in bondage. He forgave. Folks, that is love. That is love. So it goes so far beyond those, even the ones that we consider our brethren. In 1 John chapter 4, go ahead and turn your Bibles there. I was looking at the time to see if I had some time left. I've got 5 pages of notes here, and I'm only on my second page. And I will be done at 10 till. Remember, the clock goes late today. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verse 7 through 12. We love our neighbor. We love our enemies. Verse number 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So as we're on the third way of how we can show love towards people, we are to show love towards one another. That's each other, right here in this church. In your own family, in your own workplaces, we are to show love towards one another. And we might find it hard to believe this right now, but just because we all go to the same church, we're all here worshiping together, this might shock everybody here, but that doesn't mean that we all love each other. There are people who just learn how to exist with one another. The word exist doesn't include the word love. We're not here just to exist with each other. We're not here just to get along with one another. We're here to love one another. So people are just here to exist. Is that right? Absolutely not. And my friend, if that's you, that's not even scriptural. You're not living according to scripture. When you look at it in verse number 8, it can be a dangerous for this. For a believer, if you don't love, here's what it says. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. If you don't love, you don't know God, because who is love? God is love. And how did he show his love through us? He showed his love through us through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he gave to us. We just cannot learn how to exist with each other. We have to learn to have a genuine love for one another. And folks, I'm going to stop here because I'm not going to have any time to keep on going on here. If we do not learn how to love one another, our fellowship things that we will set up, attendance will be low. There will not be the fellowship that needs to take place. I have learned and I've come to understand that I cannot get through my life without the love that you show me. And I hope the love that you show me, I return it back to you. And if I don't, slap me in the face and tell me. I'm serious. Because I got to practice what I preach. And if I'm not doing that, then give me an elbow, something. Hey, you're not practicing what you preach here, and you're talking about love. But we can't just learn to exist with each other and just go from day to day. We need to learn how to love one another. And I tell you this, when we do that, our thought processes towards each other will be so different. When your face comes to my mind, I'll be able to sit down and, hey man, God brought Charlie to my mind right now. And he brought me to him to my mind right now because I love him. And so, you know what, I'm going to take some time to pray for him. You know what, that has changed in my life in the last few months, that God has been working in me. God brings your faces to my mind, and I go down and pray for you specifically. I know Pastor does the same thing, but I can't do that if I'm just existing with you. I got to learn how to love. And love is not putting you into a category of your earthly wealthy standards, of your gay apparel clothing, or how poor you might be. Love is unconditional. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what you look like, what's your background, what color you are, it doesn't matter. We need to learn how to love. And that's the royal law of Jesus Christ. So that being said, I'm out of time. Maybe time some folks at times of fellowship before we meet back here once again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I pray that you just continue to help us to learn how to love each other. Lord, if this is who we are in this church of just existing with each other, we're wrong. And God, we got to learn how to love one another. Lord, we all make mistakes. We all have faults. We don't always have to agree with each other either. But God, you have commanded us to love one another. So I pray that we would begin to do that in our lives. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.